Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 5th of April 2009. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, as it's Palm Sunday, Andy spoke on Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry. The reading, which will be read by Geraldine, is Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. And then Andy will start his sermon.
Going to have a reading, and it's from Matthew 21 verses 1 to 11, and it's in the Church Bible, page 988. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt and on the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, and the crowds went ahead of him. And those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Let's turn to our scriptures as we consider this passage in Matthew 21. I'm going to be moving around a little bit, but based in this familiar story of Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry as it's sometimes referred. Verse 1, Matthew 21, simply says, "As they approached Jerusalem." As they approached Jerusalem. All of the gospel writers are clear that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. In one sense, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, along with a great caravan of people who were travelling from all over Israel at the time to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He'd done it many times before. He was doing it again this year. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. But there's a different tone in this sentence, as they're saying, as they approached Jerusalem. In the previous chapter and verse 17, Jesus predicts his death. He says, it says, "Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised to life.'" And in Luke chapter 19, chapter 9, and verse 51, we have the beginning of, in Luke's Gospel, the beginning of Jesus' passion, the beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Chapter 9, verse 51. "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He'd done it many times before. He was doing it again this year. But Jesus was on his way to die, and Jesus knew it. In Matthew chapter 21, we pick up the story, and Jesus is on the last leg of his journey. to Jerusalem. In, again, the previous chapter, verse 29, chapter 20, verse 29, we're told that Jesus was leaving Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Luke tells us, we read about Jericho, don't we? But Luke tells us that whilst Jesus was in Jericho, he met a man named Zacchaeus. That had just happened. Matthew tells us that in chapter 20 here, that as Jesus was leaving Jericho, he encountered two blind men. And that's what those verses immediately prior to the reading we had this morning are about. Jesus encountered two blind men. And they called out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." So there's already this sense of Jesus, the Son of David, being proclaimed. Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." And then we're told in verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and followed him. Matthew doesn't tell us what they're called, but in Mark's gospel, he tells us that one of them is called Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. So we get an idea into his name. And we are told that Jesus had compassion on them, that he touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. So we have Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to die. And as he went, he healed many people, many of whom added themselves to the crowd which was following him. Verse 29 says, a large crowd was following him. A large crowd was following him. And you can imagine, can't you? You can imagine the growing excitement of this group, this crowd, chatting away, musing about all that they had seen and heard. Not only was on his way to Jerusalem, but they were in the company of a miracle-working rabbi. You can imagine the excitement of this group. They left Jericho, and they began, if any of you have been there, the hot, dusty journey uphill from the lowest point on earth, the Dead Sea, which is very close to Jericho, up to the hill country of Judea. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. They came to, I don't know how the second part of the word is properly pronounced, but I was brought up Betphage. Sounds a bit Greek to me, but you'll know that Bethlehem, 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 Bet means the house. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bet-El, the house of God. This is Betphage, which means the house of the unripened fig. Betphage, on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, which in itself is east of Jerusalem, separated only by a very narrow valley called the Kidron Valley. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 21 tell us that as they approached Betphage, Jesus sent two disciples ahead to go and get a donkey and its colt. And the disciples were obedient, and they went and they found everything just as Jesus had said it would be. And they got the donkey and its colt. They brought them to Jesus, and Jesus got on the colt and continued his journey to Jerusalem. From Bethany and Betphage, east of the Mount of Olives, they travelled over the Mount of Olives, which isn't really a mountain, it's more of a hill, but it's the Mount of Olives. They travelled over the Mount of Olives, and they began to descend down the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley, past an olive grove called Gethsemane. And then they began to the short incline again, up the eastern slope of Jerusalem, into Jerusalem and into the temple. In Luke chapter 19, verse 37, Luke's account of this triumphant entry. Verse 37 says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen." So you've got this great crowd, many of whom have been with him before Jericho, a large crowd from Jericho that have done that desert journey up to Jerusalem. They go over the Mount of Olives, and as they over the Mount of Olives, they have Jerusalem in front of them. And as they begin to go down the hill, the whole crowd of disciples begin joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Matthew 21, verse 8 and 9, we've had it read. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and the crowds that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Can you get the sense of the excitement of this crowd that was following Jesus? And verse 15 of chapter 21 indicates that there were children amongst this crowd. They were in the temple, but there were children. And the children as well were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the word Hosanna literally means save. But it is also a declaration of praise, like hallelujah or like glory. We can say Hosanna, a declaration of praise. This was the most amazing march for Jesus you have ever seen. This was the most amazing procession of witness you have ever seen. And I thought about our procession of witness. Next Friday, I'll be there. I don't know if anyone else is going to be there. Next Friday, Good Friday, the procession of witness. And I thought, how if we show our solemnity on Good Friday, how much more should we show our joy on Easter Sunday? If we show it in public on Good Friday, how much more should we show our joy in public on Easter Sunday? Anybody going to join me? Yeah, one or two. For some reason, we find it more easy to be solemn in public than joyful, don't we? I want us to notice a few things about this familiar account of Palm Sunday. Firstly, the clear messianic message in everything that is happening. The people were waiting for God's Messiah, who would come and who would save Israel. And everything in this account is messianic. Everything points to Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. First of all, you've got the Mount of Olives. The people knew, the people of the time who knew their Bibles, knew that the Messiah would come to Jerusalem via the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, a messianic prophecy. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. So the people understood that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. I don't know if you've seen a picture of Jerusalem taken from the Mount of Olives recently. A few hundred years ago, the Golden Gate, which is the eastern gate of the wall of Jerusalem, was blocked up by the Muslims, and a burial ground was established on the eastern slope of Jerusalem. And the reason is that they know that the Messiah will come from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem through the Golden Gate. So they blocked it up, and they built a cemetery there because they don't believe that the Messiah of Israel will contaminate himself by crossing a non-Jewish cemetery. They're going to have a shock one day. The Mount of Olives, utterly messianic. The donkey is messianic. I'm not sure if the donkey itself was messianic, but the fact that Jesus rode the donkey was messianic, again in Zechariah, but this time chapter 9 and verse 9. The prophet writes, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem." That word shout is important because that word shout appears again in the gospel writing, Matthew 21, where the people shouted. And they shouted because it was a fulfillment of prophecy. "Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was utterly messianic. There was nothing humiliating about riding on a donkey. In Old Testament times, when a king rode into a city on a donkey, he says, "I come to bring peace." In contrast, in coming to a city on a horse, where he came to make war. The message was absolutely clear. The King of righteousness and salvation was coming to Yerushalayim, the city of peace, to bring peace through his blood, which would be shed on the cross. "Hosanna to the Son of David" is messianic. All the prophets were clear that the Messiah would be the Son of David. And Jesus was the Son of David, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, David's city, born of David's line. Almost feels like Christmas, doesn't it? And it was this proclamation, "Hosanna to the Son of David," that Jesus was the Messiah, that offended the religious authorities so much. Going back to our reading in Matthew 21 and verse 15. "But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children shouting in the temple area, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant." And if you go to Luke's version, verse 39, chapter 19, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But I tell you," replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Do you remember, up to this point, Jesus had forbidden anyone to declare his messiahship in public. Do you remember Peter's confession? Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am? Da 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 da." And then he said, "And who do you say?" I'm not sure Jesus did say da di da di da da, but you know. And Jesus turned to him and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." And what did Jesus do? He said, he commanded them not to tell anyone. It's what theologians call the messianic secret. But here, Jesus reveals his messiahship by his actions, and he refuses to silence those in the crowd who declared it. "Hosanna to the Son of David," Jesus, the Messiah. And the cloaks and the branches on the road, again a sign of respect and honor given to an arriving king. And that they did it was recognition of Jesus' messiahship, of Jesus' kingship. In the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 9, we read that this exact thing happened to a king. And as the king processed over the cloaks and over the branches, the people proclaimed, "Jehu is king, Jehu is king." And so you can get the picture here of what is going on. The people, the crowd, are clear that here is the Messiah. The King of Jerusalem was coming. The King was here. So the whole thing is utterly and clearly messianic. The second thing to note is that the whole city was stirred. In verses 10 and 11, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowd answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" This, I don't know about you, but this stirs me. Is this your prayer for the United Kingdom? Is this your prayer for Minehead? That the people will once again be stirred to ask, who is this? Who is this? We've seen amazing scenes in London this week, haven't we? People gathering in their thousands to make their voice heard. And here in Minehead, I was stirred. I heard again from Denise this morning. She had a conversation in Tesco's yesterday and with one of the checkout guys. And he was talking about all these people that come to Spring Harvest. And she said, oh, they seem to be happy. He says, oh, yeah, they're happy. And then he told her, he said, do you know, we have a competition amongst the staff to see who gets most blessed. Because as people go out and check out, they say, bless you. I don't know if that was true in your day, Ian, but this is what we heard yesterday. Isn't that great? Tesco's know that Spring Harvest is coming. People in the town know it's coming. It's stirring. Praise God for it. But the whole city was stirred. This is what I hope for. This is what I pray for. This is what I work for. That the Holy Spirit will once again stir us such that the church causes a stir in the nation. So that instead of saying, as most people do, who cares? People will once again ask, who is this? Thirdly, a thing to note is this little phrase, and it's the phrase that really caught my attention in verse 3. If anyone says anything to you, Jesus said, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This little word need, the Lord needs them. You know, as he did then, so it is true today, Jesus needs a bunch of donkeys. Don't be offended. But Jesus needs a bunch of donkeys. Jesus needed the donkey. Of course, being the creator, being the sustainer, being the redeemer of the whole cosmos, Jesus is able to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But he chooses to need us. You see, the donkey was the vehicle by which Jesus' messiahship was made known to the people. And today Jesus needs us to carry him into the world. It is through us, our lives, our testimony, our words, our deeds, that the lordship of Jesus is made known to the world. If you don't fancy being a donkey, he needs the crowd too. It was the crowd who recognized him. It was the crowd who announced his arrival in Jerusalem. It was the crowd who announced his identity. It was the crowd who answered the question, who is this, by replying, this is Jesus, the prophet. Today, Jesus needs those who will declare to the world, this is Jesus, the Savior of the world. The Jesus who rode into Jerusalem. The Jesus who laid down his life for us by dying on the cross. The Jesus whose body was taken down from the cross, laid in a tomb, and on the third day, risen again. Jesus who lives, ascended, exalted, glorified. Jesus who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Brothers and sisters, Jesus needs you and me. He needs us. I want to finish by asking, do you know Jesus as Savior of the world? Do you know Jesus as your Savior, that he came for you? If you do, will you be his witnesses who declares today, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Will you carry Jesus into the world, to the places you work, amongst the people you work with, to the places you have your leisure? Will you help Eddie and Anita to carry Jesus into Butlins? Will you help those who work for the Hope Centre to carry Jesus into the lives of those amongst whom they work? Will you help us carry Jesus into the lives of children here at MBC next week as we have our holiday club, as we have the Shout Day? Will you help us carry Jesus into the lives of children, into the schools in this town, into the lives of the children we support in Uganda? Will you help us bring, and indeed will you, bring Jesus into the lives of the aged, the wealthy who feel they have everything they need, the poor, the lonely? Jesus needs us. He needs us. Will we carry Jesus to the people? Jesus is the Saviour of the world, but he needs us. He needs you and me to declare to the world, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
If you'd like to leave a comment on today's sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And the website's also the place out where you can find out what's happening here at Easter and some of the things that Andy spoke about during the sermon. That's at minehead-baptist.com/Easter. Well, we hope to see you over Easter if you're in the area, or if you're coming to Spring Harvest and want to come to a church, then head on down our way as well. We'd love to see you. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.